Guíní úsl le cóirde agus a ara, tá anáhas orm an ócáid seo oscailt, agus tá súla gom go mbunimí tanamh agus tarabha as. I'm delighted to open this event here at Unculturalin this evening, and in particular to welcome the Minister for Culture, Arts and Leisure, Carolyn Cullen, who very kindly agreed to be here and who will say a few words shortly to open proceedings. Earlier this year, a report by the Warwick Commission on the Future of Cultural Value asserted in a British context that, and I quote, "The government and the cultural and creative industries need to take a united and coherent approach that guarantees equal access for everyone to a rich cultural education and the opportunity to live a creative life. There are barriers and inequalities in Britain today that prevent this from being a universal human right. This is bad for business and bad for society." The report noted significant inequalities in how those from working class and ethnic and racial minority backgrounds both participate in and enjoy culture. Less people from these backgrounds make up audiences. Less of them take part in providing the fare that those audiences enjoy. Yet, what we perhaps need to attend to also is research on how people from communities often deemed marginalised in this context do use culture. In ongoing AHRC projects based at or in collaboration with our institute, we have been looking at this question of what might be termed culture from below. In a project I have been collaborating with Anandi on and others, we have been asking how culture can provide the tools with which disenfranchised communities challenge power. A report on the initial phase of this project, which entailed the Theatre as Research initiative with Afghan and Somali migrants in London, is due out soon. Close to home, our ongoing crowdsourced history of Féile an Phobail is charting the history of how this community, the community of West Belfast, created the most dynamic community festival on this island, if not these islands, in its struggle against oppression, inequality and demonisation. In this work, we discover precisely the communities the Warwick Report discusses. Not living on the margins of culture, but at the heart of it, producing it, enjoying it, finding resilience within it. And perhaps here we encounter deeper questions. If mainstream cultural production across a range of genres excludes working class and minority communities, then perhaps the central issue ought to be the constitution of the mainstream. And we hope that these case studies will provide new and groundbreaking research on cultures of resistance, on providing voices for those who feel disenfranchised or oppressed, and on how policymakers, universities, cultural bodies and communities can collaborate to drive inclusion and equality. We have four speakers tonight. I will introduce Anandi, Ken and Fergal properly shortly, but I'd like to welcome first the Minister, who I know has a great affinity with these concerns. Since taking up her ministry in 2011, she has spoken consistently of the need to link how we think of culture to broader social imperatives of combating poverty, of challenging inequality. Will you please give a warm welcome to Carol McQuillan.